Flip, 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 flip. Flip Weekly!
Hey, what's going on? This is Matt from FlipWeekly.com. You're listening to the Flip Weekly podcast. Usually we talk about making money from the garage sales and thrift stores, but occasionally I'd like to jump in and tell a story of my own. That's what I'm going to do this week. I've done this previously. I've talked about going viral with a website that I built and making a chunk of change in a single week. Just be aware that next week we'll have thrifting content. Last week we had thrifting content. We just want to make sure that I can tell these stories because I enjoy telling them and I enjoy talking about, you know, other side hustles that I've had in my life and other successes, other failures, because it's all sort of like the same thing, right? Like, we're all trying to make a bit of extra money when we do thrifting stuff. You might be able to get something from this. I'm just going to tell you all about it anyway, because it started out when I was 16 years old. And, you know, the title of this might be, you know, my early business life, a six-figure business that fell apart when I was 16 years old. An alternative title would be that one of the biggest companies on planet Earth tried to sue my ass when I was 16 years old. So this story has a lot to it. I'm going to talk about importing crates of products from China. I'm going to talk about making thousands of dollars every single month as a teenager. I'm going to talk about recruiting my friends' mums to sell my products as what would come to become affiliates. I'm going to talk about starting my own brand of electronics and putting my logo on them and putting them in retail stores. I'm going to talk about having my phone brand new, constantly on vibrate during class when I made a sale. This is back when smartphones weren't a thing and I convinced mum to get me one. And I'm also going to talk about using my real company as a way to get top marks in business studies classes at school. All of this generated some media attention and put me in one of those ridiculous top 10 lists. You know, the ones that are like top 10 young entrepreneurs in Australia, they put you in that. No one ever does anything from those lists, usually. Yeah, I'm going to talk all about that. And then, you know, they were the successes of the business, but there's a fall from grace. Like I said, one of the biggest companies in the world threatened to sue me, which was a lot of fun as somebody that is like, you know, what can you do at 16 years old? You can't do anything. You can't drive. You can't vote. You can't get, you can get a job actually. The story actually starts off when I was around 15 years old. And I remember being at school and they were reading out the announcements. And usually what they would do back then is they would get submissions from local businesses, and they had jobs like not traineeships, not apprenticeships, but they would just have like part-time job announcements saying like, if you want to work here, they're hiring from the school, you can go, you know, make a couple of bucks there. And, you know, I heard that one day that they were looking for this local company, a printing company was looking for somebody that was able to work after school, and they'd pay them a huge amount of money to do that. $6.50 an hour, and ideally the person should have, which is expecting a lot for a 16-year-old, Photoshop experience. And I actually did have Photoshop experience, so I was like, this sounds like something for me. I'll apply and I'll see if I can get it. And at the time, you know, it was living with my mum, and she's a single parent, single mum. She was actually working four jobs at the time. And when you see a parent struggling, or when you see a parent fucking hustling like that, you want to help out. So that's what my mindset was. You know, she was a single parent that was a stay-at-home mum, and then eventually became, you know, somebody that had no skills, qualifications, and needed to go into the workforce to support her kids. And she fucking hustled, man. Like, I'm sure if this garage sale thrifting shit was around back then, she would have been doing stuff like that, because having four jobs, you can just imagine some of the different things that she was doing. And one of them was even like folding up newspapers and delivering them. You know, I remember it was like a Tuesday or Wednesday night, and after school we'd drive to this location and they would bundle up like an insane amount of newspapers, put him in the car. If it was going to be a rainy day, they would also give us like these plastic sleeves, which we hated. We hated if it was going to rain, because then we had to not only fold the newspapers, but we would then have to put them inside a plastic sleeve. So like doubles the work. And what was even worse is if like there was a huge advertisement run going on and we had to put like a catalog inside of the newspaper, because then it's like three different things that you had to do. So we'd fill up the car with insane amounts of newspapers, huge bundles, would take them back home, and then everyone, mum and me and my two sisters, would sit down for probably about 5 hours after school and would just fold newspapers up. You know, our hands afterwards, that would be black from all the ink. You know, if you're wiping away sweat from your forehead, your face would like have black marks on your face. And it was a pain in the ass, but at the same time, I think mum was doing her best to make sure that like we sort of had fun with it, and you know, you'd still have the TV on and that sort of shit. So we'd do that, and then in the mornings, me and mum, we would have to, you know, after we folded the newspapers, we'd have to put a elastic band around it and then fill up the car. I'm talking like easily 15, 20 full-size black garbage bins full, garbage bag full of newspapers. We put it in the car. We had like this little routine. Mum would drive very slowly, probably around like 4 or 5 a.m. before school, by the way. We had a route that we would go on, and I would sit in the front passenger seat, and I'm not kidding, the newspapers were up to like probably, you know, just below our fucking shoulders. There were so many fucking newspapers, and I found it fun, again, you know, wind the window down, and I'd try and throw the newspaper as close as I could to the door of the house. It became like a fun thing. We had the route going. I got even better. Like by the end of this, I swear to God, I could throw a newspaper like through the tiniest hole. I was getting so good at throwing these newspapers. I could hit the doors. I could land it exactly where I wanted to. And, you know, no one else was on the road because it was so early in the morning that we could go at our own pace. And we had our route. We were not like on a bike how other people do newspaper routes. We're in a car throwing out these things. But yeah, you can just imagine when we're doing that. And I swear to God, mum made like $20 or $30 for doing this. It was not much money. It was one day a week or one night and one morning a week, $20, $30. And you know, that's what she did to help us survive and put food on the table, was just hustle, hustle, hustle. So we're experiencing that. And I'm just thinking, you know, like what else can we do to make some money? How can I help out? So I heard about this job, and like I said, it was paying $6.50 an hour, so it's not much money, but I can do it after school, and this is something that I can help out with. This is what I can do to help the family. So they had a few other tasks too. What this company did was they did 3D crystal printing, and they also did old school like promotional printing, you know, things like putting photos onto mugs, putting photos onto t-shirts, that type of stuff. So I'd work there after school. I'd put in maybe 2 or 3 hours a couple of days a week, and I was bringing home about $100 a week. And when I was working there, I felt like I was a bit of a sponge. I was interested in what they were doing. I was even like trying to give them ideas on how I think they could, you know, improve things, which I'm sure the ideas would have been terrible. But I was asking questions. I was learning things. I was learning all about, you know, how they were importing their products. I learned about their e-commerce website. I was learning about, you know, their branding, their graphics, just asking questions, being probably an annoying 16-year-old kid, you know. So I was just very interested in this business and what they were doing. And I wanted to start my own business. I thought, you know, this is the way. If eight people can employ, you know, 15, 20 people, they must be making a bit of money. So I want to do the same thing. So it was August 2008, and I decided to save up my money. So the school break had started. So I was able to put in like 8-hour days, 5 days a week at this place. They had some event coming up, and, you know, I was needed more and more. So I was able to work there for a longer amount of time, and I was able to save up. And I remember the exact amount, it was $1,040. Now, as a 16-year-old kid, that's the most money that I had ever had. There was things at the time that I'd wanted to buy. You know, everyone was playing video games. The Xbox 360 had just come out, and I was desperate to join in, you know, but I thought, no, I'm focused on starting a business. This is what I'm going to do. I have $1,000 to start up. What am I going to do? And skip forward to the next month. And it's coming up to one of the busiest times of the year, of course, which is Christmas time. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to import a product and sell it. I wanted to get in on the Christmas rush. And I, you know, I'd been using eBay before. I can tell that story at a later date. It involves selling some virtual stuff. I'll get into that later. But I'd used eBay before, so I knew at the time about a thing called eBay Pulse. Now, I don't know if eBay Pulse is still around, but it's sort of like Google Trends. If you don't know what Google Trends is, it's like if you can see what people have been searching for, what's been trending on Google, what's popular. You know, you can see the popularity over time, that sort of shit. So eBay Pulse was a thing. So I would look on eBay Pulse and I would see the most sought after products on the entire platform. And at the time I was seeing things like the Nintendo Wii, which hadn't been released at that time, but I could also see the Xbox 360, which of course I wanted, and other, you know, expensive products. So I'm thinking, you know, what if I import something like this? You know, I'm 16-year-old, I can't import a Nintendo product, I can't import a Microsoft Xbox product. So I'm going further down the list and I see the next best thing, which were MP3 players. I've talked on this podcast a lot about my love for collecting portable media. So I've got a huge collection of sealed iPods, collection of CD Walkmans, all sealed, all nostalgia, because they have a soft place in my heart. And the reason they have a soft place in my heart is because of what I'm about to tell you now. I can finally tell you. It's because the next item that was popular on eBay were MP3 players, and I thought I could import MP3 players. So I was looking at some of the auctions on eBay at the time. They all were receiving large numbers of bids, all sold for a reasonable price. And, you know, that's what I wanted to get into, because at that time, Apple had launched the iPod. There were a few iterations down. I think at the time they had got into the iPod Shuffle, not the first generation. The first generation iPod Shuffle was the one that looked like a USB stick. And then from there, they went on down to the little square iPod Shuffle. So I have that information. What I have at that point in time was $1,040. I have an idea of what I want to do. I want to import products and sell them on eBay. And then I had my products. What I was going to sell was MP3 players. So how the fuck do I do that? I'm 16 years old. All I have is the idea and a computer. So what does a 16-year-old do with just a computer? They do some Googling. They look up, you know, forums at the time. You remember forums? So much better than what we have today. I remember one, it was like wholesale forums. It was a UK-based website too, so the pricing was all over the place, but didn't use that. At the time, what I used and what I found, I don't know how I found it. Maybe I was doing some Googling. Maybe there was a link on one of like the forum websites. I don't know. But it landed me to Alibaba. Alibaba is still around today, and you can still check it out. AliExpress is around today. It's basically like Temu. If you know what Temu is, AliExpress is like Temu. Alibaba is sort of like Temu, but the stuff that you buy, you can only buy in large quantities. You can't buy individual items, or at least you couldn't at the time. So when you're talking to people on Alibaba, you're talking to the factory, okay? You're talking to the Chinese factory. They describe themselves as quote, the world's largest online business-to-business trading platform for small businesses. So that's a fancy way of saying that they're a large directory of suppliers, mostly based in China, Hong Kong, India. There's a few other places now, but back then it was mainly China. This became like my new obsession, my new hobby. I was on Alibaba for hours every single day, even at school. You know, I'd go to the library, I'd ask teachers if I could use the computer rooms. They would say what for, and I was like, you know, just to do some research, to study, that sort of shit. But, you know, I was on Alibaba, and I was literally talking to Chinese suppliers at school using the best translation possible, you know. Most of these buyers back then, you know, when I was 16 years old, I'm 32 or 33 now. So it was almost like 16 years ago. It was, you know, do the maths for me. It was a long time ago. Technology wasn't like what it was today, what it is today, sorry. I'm talking to all these different manufacturers. I'm learning terms that I don't, that I'm not familiar with, like MOQ, minimum order quantity. You know, I have $1,040. So if somebody says, oh, you need to import like a shipping container full of MP3 players, you need like $1.5 million. I'm like, no, I can't do that. Or I don't tell them, no, I can't do that. I say, that's interesting. I might do this, but can I get a sample instead? So I found the exact MP3 player that I wanted to import. Now, it was unbranded, didn't have a brand on it. It was 2 gigabytes, which at the time meant you could fit maybe, I don't know, like 200-ish songs, maybe a bit more. You could fit a decent amount of songs on there. They came in all different colors. You could choose a specific color, or you could choose like the rainbow. Let's get random. Let's chuck whatever in. So they looked very similar to the iPod Shuffle, the one that came in the square, all different colors. If you Google iPod Shuffle, you'll be able to see what it looks like. But it looked very similar to that. It had an instruction manual in it. It had a USB cable in it, so you could charge it and transfer songs onto it. Came with a pair of headphones inside the box, and it also came in a plastic box that looked very similar to how iPod Shuffles were displayed. It just had no branding on it, no logos, it's unbranded. I think it might have said MP3 player on the side. So that was the item that I wanted. So I'm like, okay, let's talk to the supplier, let's talk to the factory. I still remember the lady's name that I dealt with when I was 16. Her name was Ferry, and she was very, very kind to me. I never told her how old I was, but like I said, I knew the terms. I knew how to talk to these factories now that I'd been doing it for a while, and I was ready to commit. I was ready to fucking commit. So I found the supplier. Like I said, I had $1,000, $1,040. Let's just say $1,000 from now on. I was able to talk to her and bring the minimum order quantity down, the MOQ. The MOQ was originally 500 units, and talking about, you know, if this goes well, we can order more, mostly wanting them for samples, that type of thing, making out that we'll place a larger order down the road. I was able to bring it down to 200, and we had a few problems from there. Now, the first problem was that back then, they didn't accept PayPal. They only accepted Western Union. Now, Western Union, when you're, you know, paying for items online, it has a stigma attached to it that it's a scam, because once you send it with Western Union, the money is theirs. Once they collect it, there's no real protection for the buyer. So I'm taking a huge risk. This, remember, I'm 16 and I'm dealing with apparently a factory in China. Like, this could have just been some random kid on the other end pretending to be a factory in China. How am I supposed to know? I take a gamble. I've talked on the podcast, in the newsletter, the Flip Weekly newsletter, that I'm a gambling man. I believe that you can't make money without risking money or spending money. Yeah, I think the term is you can't make money without spending money, but it really is risking money, gambling money. I mean, it's a huge gamble, right? Like, I'm placing an order of 200 units at $4.20 each with a payment method I've never used before. It is not guaranteed to turn into anything. It could be a scammer. It could be a fake. I mean, the person could have just faked that they were a factory. So the total price, you know, 200 units at $4.20 each is $840. And I have to also pay Western Union fees. I have to convert the currency to US dollars. And I sent the money off, and I mean, I was pretty much broke. I was all in. I got rid of all of that money. I didn't buy, you know, Xbox 360. I didn't buy like video games or anything. I was sending, hopefully, a factory in China all of my money so that I could get a product delivered to me. So I spoke to Ferry. I told her that, you know, the order was placed, money was sent. And then she said, you know, it'll be manufactured within the next week and it will be shipped out afterwards. At that time, it was like near the end of September. So I had to be prepared for when the order arrived, if it arrived. I was sweating bullets, and I didn't really tell anyone either, because I can just imagine if I told mom, oh yeah, I'm just like sending off $1,000 to... Actually, I think I did tell mom, because she had to do it at the post office. That's where I did Western Union. I can't remember those exact details, but I think she might have figured it out when I needed her help to send off money overseas. I'll have to ask her what she thought about that, but... yeah, I was waiting for the order to arrive. It was at the end of September, and I decided to get prepared. You know, I started to create eBay templates, still something you can do to this day, by the way. And I did the templates so that I could do some A-B testing. So A-B testing is basically where you put up two things, you see how buyers or people react to the two different things. You can see conversion rates, if one, you know, title or image sells better than the other, that sort of shit. You know, I was 16 and somehow I was able to figure that shit out, so I don't know how. But the exciting part at the time was deciding on a selling price. Like, that is where you get excited. But I waited until this part because I think, like, when it comes to business, so many people get excited about the exciting things. There's so much that is involved in running a business, starting a business, that you can't let yourself get that excited at the beginning, because you get all those you get all that fucking dopamine being sent to you, and it's like you've already accomplished something, but you haven't done anything yet. You got to get through all the nitty gritty first before you can get that dopamine rush. Otherwise, you'll never get stuff started. You know, I have friends that tell me about starting businesses and shit, and they all tell me about, like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if I started like an alcohol company and we could get it in stores and we could do like taste tests with people and sign on celebrities. And I'm just thinking, like, dude, you haven't even started the process. You haven't even like talked to distilleries. Anyway, you got to get the nitty gritty done first. So did all the templates, did all that, and then the exciting part, the dopamine part, the part where I decided on a price. Now, I'd done a bit of research beforehand. I could see that majority of the MP3 players on eBay were selling for around $60 to $70. Now, I was purchasing these MP3 players for $4.20. So eBay, $60 to $70. I bought these $4.20. So I could undercut the competitors on eBay by a significant margin. $4.20 is a very, very cheap piece of consumer electronic, by the way. And this was, you know, back in 2008. Imagine it now in 2025. The cost of those, I mean, things are made so cheaply. Everything costs fucking nothing to make. And the profits, okay, let's not get into that. So they cost $4.20, MP3 player, fully landed, blah, blah, blah. I decided on a buy it now price of an even $50, or $49.95, I should say. So that would give me around a $45 profit before eBay fees, before tax, before shipping, etc. The eBay fees and all of that combined, not the shipping, sorry, brought it down to around $40.75. And then back then, shipping it off, it wouldn't cost much. It'd be like $5. So I'd be making, you know, around $35, $40, which meant that I only needed to sell, you know, like 23 of these MP3 players to break even. Now, that to me sounds like a good deal. That to me, I think I can sell 23 MP3 players. You know, even at school, if I went to 23 different people, I'm sure I could convince some of them to buy the MP3 players. So I'm confident. Now, in the lead up, again, I was speaking to a couple of people, you know, I was joining the forums, I was telling some people what I was doing. Of course, I wasn't telling them my age, but I was telling them, you know, I'm importing these products, I'm working with this factory, and I was getting some feedback, you know, like, you need to make sure that they actually work. You know, some of these orders can be low quality, they can have faults, it's best to test a couple out and just to make sure that the quality is there. And, you know, that all makes sense, and it's what you should do to this day. So to my surprise and to my relief, the order did arrive, and it arrived on the 9th of October. I just remember feeling ecstatic, just getting the box full of MP3 players and seeing them all in there. I just remember feeling, you know, proud. I was proud of what I was able to achieve. I was excited for what was going to happen, hopefully, if I was able to sell them. And, you know, I was just ready to go. I honestly was just ready to go. But the first thing I needed to do was get some product shots done. And at the time, I just lined them up on the floor and took some photos. Not much has changed since then, by the way. I have some photos on eBay where I just chuck the product on the floor and take some photos. I've never really been the best for product photography. But yeah, the setup was pretty dodgy. I should have got some professional product shots done, but I was really cheap, and also I had no fucking money. But, you know, eventually I used a lamp for lighting, and I used some paper, you know, some A4 paper for the white backdrop, and, you know, a digital camera. Back then, everyone had digital cameras, so I think I borrowed a sister's camera or whatever, but I was able to take a couple of photos, and you know, it wasn't terrible. It definitely wasn't the fucking best, though. So it took me a bit of time to put the first product on eBay. I was finalizing the templates. I was gifting my sisters an MP3 player. I was calming my mum down from the shock of seeing all of these products in my bedroom. And I was just, you know, I didn't have failure to launch or that thing where founders are just not wanting to launch a product. I did launch very, very quickly. I wanted to make sure I had everything right. And I remember one night my dinner was getting cold because I was listing the items for sale on eBay, and I wanted to list one of each color to start off with. And there were six colors, by the way. There was pink, green, silver, blue, black, and orange. And each one was listed for $49.95. So I did that. I listed six up. And I went to bed. And, you know, if any of you guys have ever launched a product before, it can be daunting. You know, you think that it's going to go well. Like, you have to stop yourself from thinking, like, this is going to take off. It's going to go crazy. Like, even if you're posting, like, if you're a content creator now and you're posting a video and you think you've got a really great video and you put it live and you see maybe like 8 views, 10 views and you get nothing. It's sort of like that, but probably 10 times worse because you've invested so much fucking time and money into it. So I went to bed as a 16-year-old, very, very nervous that nothing was going to happen. I was shitting bricks, basically. So yeah, my alarm went off at 6 a.m. and I think I was laying in bed, like, ready. I think I was already awake, you know what I mean? And I logged into eBay and I saw some messages and alerts, and I was just thinking, like, oh God, what's happening? And I checked out what I had for sale, and I could only see one item. And I was like, oh, these alerts, you know, like, they're going to be, my item might have broken, you know, a rule, or, you know, all these things go through your head. Maybe, like, even back then, I was thinking, oh, maybe I'm not allowed to sell something that, like, I bought so cheap and I'm selling so high. That's just what goes through. But I only had one item left to sell, and that was an orange MP3 player. And what had actually happened was overnight, in the space of 12 hours, I had sold five. I'd sold five MP3 players, which had made me $250 while I was sleeping. So to put that into perspective, as a 16-year-old, I was working 8 hours a day, 5 days a week to make $260. So to make $250 while I was sleeping, I thought was like, I honestly thought I was like, I was cheating. You know, I thought I was doing something wrong or something illegal. So that happened, and I was you know, over the moon. I couldn't believe it. I honestly couldn't believe it. Now, it took me a grand total of 8 days to recoup my entire investment. At the beginning, I thought that money might have been gone. Like, first of all, gone for shipping to, for sending it to a company that might not have existed, but gone because I thought I might have been left with all these MP3 players. But no, I recouped my investment in 8 days. And from there, I started to get into a routine. I would get home from school in the afternoon. I'd list new items on eBay. I would prep them for posting too. I would print out the invoices. I was managing payments, I was communicating with the customers, and I was, you know, walking down the post office to post the parcels. Now, all of this, it should sound familiar because that's what we do as resellers. We do the exact same thing. The process hasn't really changed, unless, of course, you have somebody coming to your house to collect the parcels, but it's all the same stuff. It's all the same thing. I was doing it when I was 16, I'm doing it now as a 30-something year old. And because the post office was so close, if they purchased before 4 p.m., I would make sure I'd be walking down that post office. I'd be posting it the exact same day. I wanted to have good customer support, good customer service. Again, I sort of still do that to this day. I live close to a post office. The only thing that's changed is I'm not fucking walking to the post office. I'm driving. But yeah, I got to know the lady that worked at the post office very, very well. At the time, she gave me access to bulk postal rates, which you can get now as an eBay reseller. But at the time, I don't know if it was accessible to everyone, but I thought I was pretty special when that happened, because the parcels retailed at around $1.80 each, and she sold me 100 for $80. So every little bit helped there. I was able to save some money, and we can do that to this day. Now, I placed my second order with Ferry on the last day of October. I still had a few products to sell, but I realized by the time the second order arrived, they should be long gone. And this time I decided to do things a bit differently. I wanted to be a bit more professional. So I bought like a paper shredder. I was going to shred paper to put into all the packaging. I was going to get a logo designed for the, I guess, for the business. And, you know, being a 16-year-old wanting to be professional, I convinced mum to, you know, sign me a BlackBerry Bold, which is embarrassing to look back on. You know, I wanted a BlackBerry Bold. I wanted to be able to send and receive emails on my phone at school. And I think I just wanted to look the part, which is, it's embarrassing. It really is embarrassing. But one of my core memories is being at school and listening, or not listening, but having my phone in my pocket and every, you know, 5 minutes feeling it vibrate and being able to see emails that were like, your item sold, or PayPal emails saying like notification of an instant payment. Yeah, that's what I really got enjoyment out of, just sitting in class and getting a notification that I'd made money. And at this point, you know, things were getting a bit chaotic. I was dealing with a lot of product, a lot of shipping, a lot of money too, you know. I was getting sort of antsy. The school break was coming up and I was honestly working more hours than ever before. I was also making more money than ever before, but, you know, I'm 16 years old and I don't know if 16-year-old kids should be working that long hours, but doing that much work constantly like on my phone and, you know, I think my entire world was basically MP3 players. I was talking to them about them a lot, that, you know, my friends were asking about them and they were seeing me with money and they wanted money. So this is so cool to look back on, but I created flyers and I basically gave them to my friends and they could put their phone number at the bottom. They could hand out flyers, and if anybody bought an MP3 player off them, they would get some of the profit. Right, like at the time I didn't know it, but these were basically affiliates. You know, if you've ever heard of affiliate marketing, that's basically what affiliate marketing is. It's also what people go around doing with Avon and Mary Kay and those sort of MLM type shits. But this wasn't a pyramid scheme. This was just friends trying to sell my MP3 players for me so they could make a bit of money. I raised my prices to $55 per item, and I was giving each of the quote-unquote affiliates $15 per sale, and that left me with $40 profit, no eBay fees, no shipping either. So I have like another core memory of going down to the shops and meeting a friend who was getting some of the MP3 players from me. They took, like, I had put them in this little like plastic bag, gave it to my friend who had his mum with him, and she went off and she this like left the school. She took him to like her office and she was selling them at her office. So yeah, I guess it wasn't just kids that were the affiliates. It was also a couple of parents, I guess, they were trying to make some money too. So I thought that was really cool, and everyone was making money, right? So with both eBay and my friends and their parents bringing me like customers, I was earning more than I ever thought that I'd be making. Like, I never hit five figures in revenue in a single day. I was doing it on a weekly basis. And what I find incredible now, well, not that incredible, but at the time incredible, was that I created this little business just based on the one product. It wasn't like a multi-product business. It was just a single product. And I think back then it made me a bit paranoid, and I wanted to expand, which is such a dumb thing to do. Like, I'm making bank on one product, just run that product into the ground. But no, I decided that I needed to expand and look into different products. So I decided to do some research. I was doing some R&D a couple of days before Christmas, thinking that would be slow sales day, which they obviously weren't. But it wasn't until mid-January of the next year that I was going to work on it. But that would turn out to be too late. So the new year started out, and it was 2009, And one of my, you know, shitty kid business dreams, goals, was to be, you know, a teenage fucking millionaire. It's so embarrassing. And, you know, I thought I was on track to do that. And, yeah, that was, I remember telling people that at the time too. And, oh, it's just, it brings me back so much, so many, like, cringy, embarrassing moments. Telling adults that, oh god. But anyway, I was doing research into, you know, other markets, other trends, seeing what was happening, and I was looking at manufacturing prices too, and I was thinking that if I was going to start a new product, I'd probably do the exact same, you know, follow the same procedure as before, but I'd be more efficient now that I've done it before. So I was looking at, you know, eBay Pulse, seeing what was trending, and one of the items that was trending and one of the things that was trending were USB drives. I was putting together, you know, a little document that was including all of my research. It included, you know, the trends. It included how much I could buy it for, how much I could sell it for. And this time I was not going to make it unbranded. I was going to actually brand it with my business. You know, I was going to make my own brand of USB drive. Quick funny story about that was in high school, I was in a business studies class. And I actually didn't tell anyone in my business studies class. Like, I didn't tell my business studies teacher that I had started a business, you know, I had my own ABN as a kid, and I didn't tell them any of that. So we had like this task at school. It was worth like 50% of our overall mark. And it was to make like a business plan. And, you know, everyone would create like these fake businesses and come up with names, and they would do like a couple of pages, just creating this fake business. I literally just inputted all of the data and text that I'd already been researching into this. I was using my real business too. I chucked on, you know, images of the USB drives that I was getting sampled. I had like 3D mock-ups of what it would look like, and I just chucked it all on. I still have the paper, and it was graded. It was 13 pages long. It was a real fucking plan, real plan with projections, everything that was based on the business, and it got a perfect 20 out of 20 mark. And the teacher wrote something like, "I cannot fault this." And I just remember thinking like, "I know you can't, because it's fucking real, bro." Anyway, back to the story. I did my sales forecast, and I was like, I was going to grow, man. Like, I was going to sell like something like 13,000 units the first year, which turned out to be like $400,000 in revenue. Looking at the USB drives that I was going to sell, I was going to sell them for $30, which was a lot cheaper back then, for 8 gigabyte USB drives. They were retailing in stores at that time for $100. So for me to sell them for 30, that's a huge, huge drop. And I was buying them very, very cheap. So, you know, you go into a post office now, you can buy 8 gigabyte USB drives for like $8. So memory prices have obviously gone down, but back then they were expensive. At the time, I thought, like a few years after this, I thought that I had a direct effect on the market, but I really didn't. It's just that, yeah, storage prices just dropped, and, you know, I'm in data storage right now. My current company is in data storage, so I guess from 16 to now, I've been involved in that sort of industry, not in physical storage, but yeah. Anyway, I was talking to distributors, not distributors. I was talking to distributors about potentially having them in stores. That would have been cool. It would have been something that would be like a milestone, even though I should have just been focused on selling online, because that's where I was making my money. Having them in store, and you see it with people on Shark Tank now, it is a milestone, and it feels more real. You know, you feel like that legitimacy, and or like you feel more legit if you have something physical in a store. And back then, that's how I would have felt. And, you know, I was doing all this, but I didn't realize that this was all going to be a waste of time. I didn't know it yet, that this was all going to be a waste of time, because what was going to happen. First, let's do something that got me a bit excited before I tell you about the fall of this thing. But I can't remember the exact date, but it was in February, and I was sitting in I was sitting in my elective at the time, which was information processes and technology. It was basically a computer class. And my phone started to ring in the middle of it. And I didn't answer it, but they left a message. And, you know, when the teacher turned their back or went out of the room, I remember playing it. And it was a reporter from one of the Rupert Murdoch-owned websites here, like news stations here in Australia, called news.com.au. It's the biggest news website in Australia, if not one of, yeah. And she left a brief message, and then she sent me an email, and I still have screenshots of the email, and I printed it out and everything. But she was basically saying that they were writing an article on young entrepreneurs, and somehow they got my information. Maybe because I was posting in these forums, and maybe I must have told them my age at this point, but I thought it was a good opportunity to, you know, talk to people my age and you know, maybe even make some money. Like, I was just trying to get my stuff into stores and get more eyeballs on this shit. Like, I just wanted to make money, and I figured, you know, if I can get, you know, on fucking the news website, then I could say, you know, go buy my shit. Now, going back to how I wanted to be professional, like, I'm a kid. Any kid that is in business, they want to be seen as equals to their counterparts. And in most cases, their counterparts are adults. So that's why you see, like, you know, kids in business dressing up in suits or buying briefcases when they don't even need them. It's because they want to be seen as their equal. So that sort of got to me when I realized that, you know, I'm going to a networking event and, you know, I didn't even have a fucking business card. And I'm thinking, like, I need to get some business cards. So it was like 2 days before, and I had to rush a business card order. Got like 1,000 of these fucking things, and I think I used like maybe 15 of them or so, and then the rest just get, you know, thrown out, because who uses business cards? But I also realized that I needed a website, or I wanted a website to look legitimate, because again, all I had was an eBay store, and I just thought, if I'm talking to the reporter and I want to say, like, go buy my shit, I can't say go to ebay.com.au/whatever. I have to say, like www.buymattshit.com. So I had to do all of that really quickly. I had to get the business cards done. I had to put up a website. The website was pretty shit. You know, I used an e-commerce template, which is meant as like a shop website, but I had two products. That's it. I only had the USB drives and the MP3 players. So it didn't look very good. And, you know, the platform that I was using at the time was called OzCommerce. It was the exact same platform that my first job that I had, you know, back when all this started, was using. That's the only thing I knew. That's why I used it. It was a horrible decision, you know. I shouldn't be using like a full shopping cart type shit. Not for two products. But again, that's all I knew, so that's what I used. So I went to the interview and I had an all right time. I still remember it. I still remember, you know, learning different camera tricks that reporters use to get different shots. You know, like, you always have that shot of people walking down a hallway and you see, you know, the camera cuts midway through and you get the front of them and the back of them. I didn't know it. Like, just little things like that, oh no, it's two shots and stitched together. The camera's at the front and then the camera's at the back. And, you know, me, I'm thinking at the time, like, oh, there would be two cameras. Just little things like that I realized about. I don't know. That for some reason I remember that. It's not important. I had a fine day. I was it was a full day outside of school, and work was challenging, so I didn't want to deal with that shit either. I went with my dad. He's a shift worker. He worked at the time from 11 o'clock at night till 7 o'clock in the morning. So then he drove 90 minutes to the interview. That was the very first time that I interviewed, so I was a bit nervous, but my dad didn't really fucking care. He stayed in the car and set me up by myself. I'm in the middle of the Sydney CBD and I'm like, what the fuck is happening? But I guess that's me trying to be professional, right? I don't know. And also, you know, I've never liked having a camera shoved in my face and told to talk, especially when it's about topics that I don't care about. At the time, you know, they wanted us to talk about the global financial crisis, which, to be honest, I had no fucking idea about. I'm a 16-year-old kid that's had his head buried in USB drives and MP3 players for the past 12 months. I don't know anything about the global financial crisis. I don't know why they wanted us to talk about that instead of spooking our dumb fucking businesses, but I think it was because they wanted other people to hear our horrible, horrible takes so they could rip into us. Sort of like a journalism where they're trying to outrage their viewers. But Yeah, my main goal for the interview was to like plug the shit out of my business and that's it. I think there was around 12 of us. Not in contact with any of those people anymore. I do remember there was one person there that ran a, I think it was 18, and he ran a website called creditcardfinder.com.au, and that ended up turning into finder.com.au. Yeah, I remember bringing that up to the Finder boys, and they were just laughing, and I didn't understand why. I don't know the story with that, but just know that I think that was the very first time Finder got mentioned was in that article. But that company's worth probably $1 billion now. But anyway, the date ended. Out of those 12 people, it ended with a request for me and two of the other young entrepreneurs to guy on Sky Business News. And I remember, like, we left and they didn't say anything. And then I guess they had a chat and they were like, okay, we picked three people. They called me up in the car and they're like, we want you to go on Sky Business News to talk about the global financial crisis. And I'm like, oh, what the fuck? I don't know fucking anything about this. So that was a very, very hard no. And I do remember that the three people did go on and talk about the crisis, and I don't think it went very well. But yeah, it was going to be live too. And I've done live TV before, and it's sort of terrifying. And as a 16-year-old kid, I would not wish that on fucking anyone, especially when you're talking about a topic that didn't matter. Like, I just wish I knew what I knew now, where I could just be like, oh, I don't know anything about the global financial crisis, but I do know a lot about USB drives. Go to my website. I wish I could have done that. I probably would have got props from the fucking host, but anyway, none of that mattered. And the article ends up going live on February 18th, and it was a shit show. It was a shit show, and it's one of the reasons why I don't ever read comments on anything that I'm involved with, because here are like maybe here were a bunch of kids being told to talk about the global financial crisis, and you know the comments are just like it was like the feature article, by the way. This is like, you go on the website, it's the main thing. It was up there for maybe the entire day. It also ran across all them other mastheads, which are like the huge newspapers in Australia. So we're being asked leading questions, and then we're getting absolutely destroyed in the comments. And of course, people went to the website that I had, and they saw that I had two products, and they're like, two products? Two fucking products? Two products isn't a business? All that sort of shit. And I'm just like, I'm reading them, scrolling down, and I'm like, oh my god, this is fucking horrible. Like, I'm reading all this hate. There was so much hate. And, you know, even back then, a Rupert Murdoch, I know it's hard to believe, but a Rupert Murdoch owned paper still has a lot of hate in the comments all the way back then. I wasn't exactly pleased with how things went. But it didn't stop me, you know, brushed that aside. I think my dad printed out the entire article and it included the comments, and it was like 50 A4 pages. But anyway, I continued selling on eBay, and the MP3 players were honestly selling so fucking good, even after Christmas time. So week after week, I was seeing increases in revenue. It was just going up. And at this time, I had made like several big orders with the supplier with Ferry over in China, that we had a good relationship. And I also had plans on making, you know, other big orders. So doing like promotion and marketing for the USBs and organizing distribution was sort of put on hold. It was put on hold, but I was close to doing like some stuff with that. Like I had big plans for that. I was very, very close. But, and this is what happens, shit hit the fan. It did not go as planned. So March was coming around. March 1st is my birthday, and I was going to turn 17, and I wanted to go on a holiday, take my family with me. But then came a phone call, and I was sitting in the computer room at school. It was lunchtime, and I was doing what I usually do, which is, you know, processing orders. I was chatting with the supplier. My phone started to ring, and it was an unusual number on the caller ID, which was sort of normal. And it was a lawyer, and they were representing the biggest business that was in the MP3 industry at the time and is now one of the biggest companies in the fucking world, if not the biggest, which is Apple. And Apple told me that I needed to cease operations immediately, or else they're gonna fuck me to kingdom come. They didn't say those exact words, but the general gist is that you need to stop. And they said Apple is not happy, and they saw the article. They saw what I was selling. They must have thought that it resembled too much of an iPod, and they didn't want their intellectual property to be infringed, which is what I assume they thought was happening. And yeah, that I need to stop selling them, or else they'll go take me to fucking court and rip my brains out, you know. So you can imagine how I was feeling. I was sitting in the library and I couldn't take another fucking order. And I was, you know, my stomach dropped and I was sweating, and I was confused too, because I'm almost 17 at the time, and I received emails and follow up phone calls and stuff about it, and I was told, yeah, I can't sell, or I can sell, but if I sold, yeah, things were not going to be well. So I remember coming home and walking to my room and just laying down, and I was staring at the roof for hours, and I was just thinking about what else to do. And I was like, I was 16, almost 17, in way too fucking deep. And I was, you know, I'm not going to give up. I wanted to see a lawyer just to see like what my options were. That's, you know, the smart thing to do. And the lawyer told me that it wasn't a good idea to fight. You know, there was nothing to fight for. They could see the resemblance. They could see what a consumer, that they could see that a consumer could easily be, it could easily mistake my product for their product. So I would not win. There's no point taking this any further, and that I needed to stop. So that's it. I agreed to stop. I didn't sell anything else from there. I had USB drives, MP3 players all in my room. I had a ton of them. They were taking up space in the house, and I couldn't do anything with them. Legally, I couldn't do anything with them. And that's it, you know. For the rest of the year, I was quiet in business. I had lost my mojo. I didn't want to continue. I focused majority of my time at school, and that's it. I mean, I still have, to this day, I've moved how many times. I still have MP3 players in drawers. I still have USB drives in drawers. They're just laying around doing nothing. And that was the very first business that I really ever launched. I mean, if I'd given the opportunity again, would I have done things differently? I definitely would have. Would I have known to do it as a 16-year-old kid? No. So I learned a lot from the experience, and I made money and I lost money. And would I have gotten destroyed if I decided to take Apple to court, or if I decided to, you know, stand up for myself in court? Hell yes. I would have gotten fucking destroyed, and I would have lost, you know, all of my money. But I don't regret doing any of it, because it really started, you know, my love for business and the joy of the nitty-gritty, the joy of getting your hands dirty at the beginning and taking risks and betting everything on an idea, just going all in on an idea and seeing if it's going to work out. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, like if I would have lost all my money at the start, then you know what I would have done? I just would have went back to working at that first place. I would have blown through $1,000. I would have gone back to working at this marketing promotional place, and I would have done more hours to save up another $1,040, and I would have invested it into something else, because that's the way the business works. You take the risk. The risk sometimes pays off. The risk sometimes doesn't pay off. And I've had failed ventures since then. I've had successes since then. But yeah, that's how it started. At 16 years old, I decided to import crates of consumer electronics and sell them on eBay. Like, yeah. And if this story sounds somewhat familiar, it was actually published in 2011 in text form. It's the first time that I've actually talked about it. So yeah, if it sounds familiar, that's why. I just remember when it was first published in 2011, I talked about, you know, all of the hate comments that I had received on the news article and reading through those and how much I hated doing that. And it was funny, the very first comment that was published, published on the piece in 2011 was correcting my spelling, treating me like a fucking kid. So it did a full circle there. But yeah, I mean, it would just make sense if somebody leaves a comment on this correcting the way that I speak or something like that. Now, that concludes this week's podcast. Again, the podcast isn't usually personal stories about past ventures. In most cases, we focus solely on flipping items from garage sales and thrift stores, but I feel like this story sort of lends itself to selling on eBay. But anyway, make sure you subscribe to the pod. Make sure you also subscribe to the newsletter at flipweekly.com. Don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms. We've got some videos over on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram. Give us a rate, give us a review, and I'll see you again next week, hopefully with some killer finds and some killer sales.
Flip, 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 flip,